Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Flower Traveled in My Blood by Haley Cohen Gilliland is a non-fiction account of Argentina's decades-long search for truth after the military dictatorship that ruled from 1976 to 1983. Centered on the abuelas de Plaza de Mayo, the grandmothers of the Plaza de Mayo, the book traces how a group of women transformed private grief into a sustained human rights movement, determined to locate children taken from detained and disappeared parents and raised under false identities. Gilliland frames their fight as both intimate and political, moving between personal stories of families fractured by state terror and the broader legal and scientific innovations that helped reunite relatives. The narrative highlights the emotional complexity of identity restoration for the now adult grandchildren, the persistence required to challenge powerful institutions, and the moral urgency of memory. With the clarity of investigative storytelling and the empathy of biography, the book offers a compelling look at how ordinary citizens can build extraordinary tools for justice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Argentina's dirty war and the machinery of disappearance. The book situates the grandmother's mission inside the historical reality of Argentina's last military dictatorship, when enforced disappearance became a systematic instrument of control. Rather than treating the era as distant history, the narrative emphasizes how bureaucracy, secrecy, and propaganda enabled large-scale abuse while creating lasting uncertainty for families. Arrests without records, clandestine detention centers, and the deliberate erasure of identities were not accidental byproducts but core features of repression. In this context, pregnant detainees and newborns were especially vulnerable because the theft of children removed a living link to the disappeared and offered perpetrators a way to rewrite lineage itself. Gilliland's story underscores how the state's power extended beyond physical violence into the realm of documents, names, and official truth. This framing helps readers understand why recovering identities became both a personal necessity and a democratic imperative. The topic also explores the long afterlife of dictatorship, including fear, silence, and contested narratives that persisted into the transition to democracy. By grounding the grandmother's work in this wider system, the book clarifies what they were up against and why their eventual successes were so historically significant. Secondly, the birth of the grandmothers as a grassroots human rights force. A central theme is how the Abuelas de Plaza de Mayo emerged from individual desperation into collective strategy. The book highlights the practical and emotional leap from searching alone to organizing publicly, often in an environment where speaking out could bring retaliation. Gilliland presents their activism as a process of learning and adaptation building networks, documenting cases, approaching courts and churches, pressuring officials, and sustaining visibility when institutions failed them. Their public presence was not merely symbolic, it became a method for gathering information, attracting witnesses, and challenging denial. The grandmothers also had to define a clear mission distinct from other human rights efforts, focusing specifically on locating children and restoring identities while maintaining solidarity with broader demands for accountability. This topic shows the power of persistence over time, as years turned into decades, and the children they sought became adults with lives shaped by lies they did not choose. The book emphasizes the grandmothers' ethical discipline, including their insistence on nonviolent action and the careful handling of sensitive information. Through their organizing, the movement demonstrates how civic courage can create institutions of memory, even when the state is unwilling or unable to provide them. Thirdly, identity, family, and the psychological weight of stolen lives. Beyond investigations and courtrooms, the book explores the inner consequences of identity theft for the grandchildren and for the families who never stop searching. Gilliland presents identity not as an abstract concept, but as something lived through names, stories, photographs, traditions, and the everyday sense of belonging. When a person learns that their upbringing was built on a falsified origin, the revelation can destabilize trust, self-understanding, and relationships, even when the truth is liberating. The narrative also considers the grief of biological relatives who must reconnect with someone who has grown up elsewhere, often with conflicting loyalties and real affection for adoptive caregivers. This creates moral complexity. The stolen child is never at fault, and yet the surrounding adults may include both perpetrators and unwitting participants. The topic addresses how reunification is not a single event, but a long process that can involve denial, anger, confusion, and gradual integration. The grandmother's approach, as portrayed in the book, balances urgency with care by encouraging truth-seeking while recognizing the emotional risks of discovery. By giving attention to these psychological layers, the story shows why restoring identity is both a human right and a deeply personal transformation that unfolds over time. Fourthly, science. Documentation and the creation of tools for truth. One of the most distinctive aspects of the grandmother's campaign is how it helped pioneer methods to prove kinship when parents were missing. The book describes the practical challenge: how do you confirm identity when the direct link to mother or father may be gone? Gilliland highlights how activists, scientists, and legal advocates advanced the use of genetic evidence and meticulous record building to support reunification and prosecution. This includes the development of databases, case files, and procedures for collecting testimony and preserving evidence over many years. The topic also shows that science alone is not enough. Results must be paired with ethical protocols, informed consent, and supportive counseling for those receiving life-altering information. At the same time, the use of scientific tools becomes a powerful rebuttal to denial and misinformation, turning memory into demonstrable fact. The grandmother's work illustrates how civil society can drive innovation when the state lags behind, and how technical solutions can serve moral ends. By focusing on the intersection of genetics, archives, and human rights law, the book reveals how truth can be built through patient collaboration and how evidence can protect stories from being erased. Lastly, justice, accountability, and the long arc of human rights movements. The narrative extends from personal recoveries to the larger question of justice in a society emerging from terror. Gilliland depicts accountability as contested and uneven, shaped by political shifts, legal obstacles, and the passage of time. The grandmother's fight involves more than finding individuals. It also presses the country to recognize crimes, name perpetrators, and prevent repetition. This topic emphasizes how truth-seeking interacts with courts, commissions, media, and public education, and how each arena can either advance or stall progress. The book shows that victories often come in increments: a new lead, a confirmed identity, a legal precedent, a cultural change in how the past is discussed. It also addresses the moral tension between reconciliation narratives that urge forgetting and the grandmother's insistence that democracy requires memory. By following the movement across decades, the story highlights endurance as a core political skill, particularly for people without formal power. The grandmothers become a model of sustained civic engagement, demonstrating how a focused mission can reshape national consciousness. Ultimately, this theme frames the book as a study in how societies confront atrocity and how ordinary citizens can force institutions to reckon with truth. In conclusion, this book is best for readers interested in modern history, human rights, Latin American politics, and true stories of civic resistance, as well as anyone drawn to narratives about identity and family. It will also resonate with readers who want to understand how activism works in practice, not as slogans but as years of organizing, documentation, and strategic persistence. The life benefit comes from its clear demonstration that truth and justice are not automatic outcomes of time. They are built by people who refuse to accept erasure, and that lesson can translate to many areas of life, from community advocacy to personal resilience in the face of uncertainty. Compared with similar books on authoritarian regimes, Gilliland's focus on the grandmothers offers a distinctive lens: the recovery of stolen identities through a blend of moral courage, legal pressure, and scientific innovation. The story shows how intimate love for family can become a public force capable of changing institutions. It is worth buying because it combines historical context with human stakes, helping readers grasp both the scale of the crime and the tenderness and difficulty of reunification. The result is a compelling, enduring account of memory, dignity, and the hard work of rebuilding truth. If you would like to support Haley Cohen Gilliland, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.